Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Prophetess Crystal McQueen. Welcome once again, family, to Prophetic Atmosphere. I thank God for each and every one of you on tonight that have taken time out of your schedule to join me at my broadcast once again, giving God all the glory, all the honor, and definitely all the praise. Amen. Just don't want to belabor the time actually any longer, family. I want to go pretty much right into the Word, kind of picking up where my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen has left off. He's been in a series, amen, and it's an exciting series, and I definitely ask you to join us, amen, on Tuesday at 7 p.m. for Kingdom Lifestyles broadcast, as well as Saturday at 9:30 a.m. and Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. for our live broadcast, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, amen. You can see us live at www.ctkr.org. Amen. As you know, that is our website, but that's also where our media page is also located as well. And if any of you would like information concerning us, concerning our media, you would like to order the message, or if you would like either one of us, myself or Apostle McQueen, to come and minister at any one of your churches or engagements, amen, as you're at our website, once again, that's www.ctkr.org. You can either hit us up on the Contact Us page located at the top of the website through the Media tab, amen, or just leave a message, amen, and we will contact you at our earliest convenience, amen. Glory to God. But he has been preaching a powerful message talking about the fear of success, and he's actually coming out of 1 Samuel, which I will be there tonight as well. 1 Samuel 15, we're going to start at the very first verse, 1 Samuel 15, starting at the first verse, and then we're going to read down, and as the Holy Spirit opens up his word, we shall follow his leading. Amen. And finally, want to definitely let you know about our upcoming events. In 2 weeks, amen, family, October 16th through the 19th, I personally want to invite you to join me for my Women of Prophetic Destiny Conference, amen, my yearly conference being hosted right here at our location, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, amen, amen, and amen. Starting Thursday night, we have co-pastor Catherine Montgomery in the house all the way from Titusville, Florida, amen. Following her on Friday night, we have Associate Pastor Carol Jones, amen, Associate Pastor Carol Jones from Spring Cove, Florida, And on Saturday night, we have none other than co-pastor Roshonda Bryant bringing forth the Word of God on Saturday night. And then my husband will be ministering in the AM, amen, during our regular service times. Amen. He'll be bringing forth the Word. And finally, yours truly at 4 p.m., we'll be wrapping the conference up. For those of you who are theme driven, this year's theme, called a call back to holiness. Amen. A call back to holiness. Amen. I don't know about you, but the church has lost its way. Amen. And it is time. God is raising up people, raising up leaders, amen, that will lead his people back into the safety, amen, right back to the road of righteousness and truth once again, amen. And I'm glad about it, amen. And I definitely want to be one of the ones that are used in his for his glory, and I hope you do too, amen. So those dates once again, October 16th through the 19th, Women of Prophetic Destiny, and we will be broadcasting it live right on our page, www.ctkr.org. Click on the media tab, and you will be able to see us there on Sunday nights. We have powerful praise and worship, amen, that will be coming forth, so you don't want to miss it, amen. Glory to God. And also, we do have some more upcoming events. November, we have our singles conference. Successfully Single is the theme of this year. And then rounding that out is going to be our Young Warriors, Joshua Generation Young Warriors conference. That's going to be rounding out beginning January 29th to February 1st, 2015. Amen. The young people are going to be bringing the fire, the anointing, and the power. Amen. And I can't wait. Amen. I already want to have myself ready and prepared to do battle. Amen. Doing what God has called us to do. Amen. Being that Joshua generation. Amen. Glory to God. Now, those are the events, the announcements. Amen. We're also on Facebook as well. You can join us there, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries or Women of Prophetic Destiny. Love to hear from you and want to know how God is blessing your life. For those of you who want prayer, someone to touch and agree with you, leave your prayer request there. We are praying for you. Amen. We are believing God for you. Amen. And we definitely want to know what God is doing. Let us know so that we'll know what direction that we shall we continue praying, or if God has answered the prayer. Let us hear from you, people of God, to know what God is doing in your life. Amen? Amen. All right. Let us turn our Bibles this evening to 1 Samuel 15. Amen. Starting from the first, we're going to start the first verse. I'm going to be reading out of two versions on this evening, the New King James Version as well as the Message Bible on this evening. Amen. Reading out of the New King James Version and the Message Bible, 1 Samuel 15, amen. We're going to read at the first through the fourth verse. But before I do that, let's go to the throne room, amen, and let us pray. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, thank you for your protection. God, thank you for your safety. Thank you for your loving kindness. God, we thank you for your presence resting in on our lives and ruling our lives, God, every step of the way. Even now, as your people come, Lord, we just lay before you every weight, lay it aside. We ask for forgiveness for all sin. God, all unrighteousness, cleanse us in the blood, wash us in your word, make us whole. Purify our hearts, God, in your word on tonight. Purify our souls. Renew a right spirit in us, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Even now, as we come, we invite your presence in the room, Lord. We invite your presence in the broadcast, wherever your people are. I'm asking that your presence would rest upon them now, in the mighty name of Jesus, that you begin to speak forth this evening your word, speak forth your oracle, speak forth what your people need to hear from you on tonight, God, in Jesus' mighty name. Oh, Father, we just thank you and praise you for all that you are doing, all that you have done, and all that you're going to do in the lives of your people, in the mighty name of Jesus. God, make us to be those warriors, those men and women of God that you have called us to be. Hallelujah. God, we thank you. Even now, Father, begin to stir up in us a will to do your will. stir up in us, God, those words, the prophetic words that have been laying dormant. Now, Father, stir them up in our lives that we will begin to move forward in the things that you have called us to do. Father, that before we cross over into 2015, Father, that there will be a shift, a change, a shaking on the inside of us, that we don't make excuses, we don't look back, we don't fear what you have called us to do. We thank you now, we praise you, we glorify you, we bind the hand of the enemy on every side. Hallelujah. Oh God, we thank you. Even the enemy within, Father, we ask you for the strength to overcome. Ask you for the strength to pass the test. Hallelujah, in the mighty name of Jesus. And we give your name praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. The book of 1 Samuel, chapter 15. Amen. Let's start at the first verse, people of God. Samuel also said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, heed the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of the hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and do not spare them." Listen to the words now. Go attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, infant, nursing child, ox, sheep, camel, and donkey. Let's keep reading. So Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and lay in wait in the valley. Then Saul said to the Kenites, "Go, depart, get down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt." So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites, and Saul attacked the Amalekites, amen, from Havil all the way to Shur, which is east of Egypt. He also took Ahag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and were unwilling, here's the key, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them, but everything despised and worthless that they utterly destroyed. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. Now here we have, my husband's been teaching a message of the fear of success. Amen. But here we have Samuel, who is at this time the prophet of the Most High God. Amen. And he begins to speak to Saul as God's manservant and says to him, "Listen, I've given you this anointing." I'm paraphrasing and bringing it into today's times. He told Saul, "Listen, I've anointed you king over my people. Now hear what I have to say, because you're not just going to sit on this throne and do nothing. You're anointed for service for me. You're anointed in this kingdom. And I have a purpose for you. I have a task for you. And what I need you to do, I'm asking you to obey me. And I need you to go and punish Amalek for what he has done to my people. He ambushed them while they were on their way to Egypt. While they were at the vulnerable point, he tried to attack them." Amen. He said, "Now, I need you to go and attack the Amalekites, utterly destroy all that they have." Okay? Don't spare nothing. Uh-huh. Stay with me. And all, don't spare them. Kill man, kill woman, kill child, kill baby, ox, sheep, everything that they've birthed, burn it to the ground. kill it all. Now, and then Samuel, and it goes into Samuel gathering the people and getting people ready and going forth into battle. Now, let's bring this to today. God has called you for a purpose. God has called you for a purpose. He's ordained you. He's gifted you with giftings. Amen. He's given you time in the trenches to learn, to study His Word, to learn Him, to understand His voice, to know the tactics of the enemy, but not only the tactics and schemes of the enemy, but also to know how heaven runs as well, the secrets of the kingdom. Amen. He's given you all of that. The anointing is with you, amen, when you move, when you sing, whatever you stretch your hand to do, God begins to move on your behalf. Everybody has poured into your life. They have taught you, they trained you, the good, the bad, and the ugly, to test the trials and the challenges that you have gone through. Everything you've gone through in your life, God has used it for your good. Someone say, for my good. He's used everything for your good, even the tears that you cried, amen, the pain that you felt, the disenchantment, the discouragement, the frustration, all of it has been used and is still being used, amen, for your good. Somebody say, all things are working out for me. May not feel like it. God didn't talk to us about our feelings. Yes, He is concerned about our feelings. He's touched by our infirmities. Yes, God is concerned with how you feel. However, listen to this. However, when it comes time to obey, when it comes time to receiving an assignment from Him, when it comes time to producing that which He has given you to produce, that is not the time where God is really concerned about how you feel and what your circumstances are. And today they talking about me, and tomorrow they my friend, and I don't have nobody, woe is me, I'm going through. Now hear me, family. Hear me. I'm not saying that our God is a ruthless God. I'm not saying that our God is harsh, can care less about what people do to us or say to us. I'm not saying that at all, because the truth of the matter is He does care. Amen. And for many of us, He has sure enough came to the rescue. Amen. When people were ready to push you off the cliff, and for some of us, they had pushed us off the cliff, and we were hanging on to a branch, holding on to that branch for dear life while they stood over us ready to take us up out of here, and God intervened on our behalf. Somebody need to give Him a praise right there. Amen. Not that God, I'm not talking about a God that is ruthless, a God that is vengeful, does not have His ear attuned to you. I'm not speaking of that, but I'm talking to those of us who God has given an assignment. He has given a task. He has put a calling. He has put a mandate upon your life. He has put a purpose on the inside of you. He has put an anointing, a prophetic word in your mouth. He has given you a heart for souls, where every time you see somebody, you want to preach the gospel to them. You want to tell them about Jesus and how He died for their sin. I'm talking for those of us who have been given a God-given mandate to do kingdom ministry. God has graced us. He's anointed us, amen, to lead somebody, to lead His people, whether it's in writing, whether it's in song, whether it's in preaching, whether it's in teaching, whether it's in business, amen. However God chooses or has laid His hand on you or breathed into you, whatever the gifts that He has given you for His kingdom purpose, amen, God has anointed you. You know God has anointed you. I'm not talking to a someone who is still learning His voice. I'm not talking to someone, a novice, amen, who has just been saved 1, 2, 3 years. I'm talking to those of us who have been walking with God some time. We know His voice when He speaks. We know his leading. We know his push. Amen. We know his pull. I'm talking to you. Amen. He anointed, just like Saul, he anointed you over his people. He's anointed you over a purpose. He's anointed you over maybe a set, a business design. Amen. He's anointed you over the ability to write books. He's anointed you to give speeches, whatever God has given you. But the whole thing is whatever he has given you, amen, is all for his kingdom, because you are pushing, you are pulling, you are fighting the gates of hell, getting people to understand who Christ is, and getting the people to be able to tap into his word and begin to really begin to apply the true word of God to their lives, not so much so they can get that next house and that next Bentley, amen, and that next wardrobe. Not talking about that, but letting people know that God has called them for a kingdom destiny, and that destiny is to deliver, heal, signs, wonders, and miracles. That destiny is basically Isaiah 61. We're all called to do that. Those of us who have an anointing on our life. Don't tell me that you anointed and you can't cast out nor a devil. Don't tell me you anointed, you laid, and when you lay hands on a sick person, nothing is moving. Don't tell me that you don't tell me you anointed and you're not ministering to the broken, the bruised, the lost at all costs. You're not doing any of that. If you're sitting up there talking about where my next gig is and I can't come to your church unless I get half of up front now and half later, and then I'm going to do some fabulous deep dissertation of the Word of God. The Word of God so deep that, you know, when you need a dictionary and a thesaurus to fully understand what you just said, Listen, the Word of God comes to set people free. And I'm not against those, because I know the type of God that I serve. He has people that are anointed for different sects of people. There are people that are very intellectual and very intelligent and love God with everything that's in their being. And he has given or set around them, amen, men and women of God who can speak their language. But even as they're speaking the language, they're still fulfilling a God-given assignment and still telling people that holiness is right, righteousness is right, the kingdom of God is at hand. Don't get comfortable in your place of ease. You need to get up and begin to war. If it's not for you and your family, then you need to war for your block, war for your community, war for your household, war for your business, war for those who are on your job. You need to be doing something more than just collecting a check, driving a car, and just existing, amen, in a mundane life day after day, but there is no change. God is not bringing nobody before you. You're not praying for nobody. You're not seeking him for nobody. You're not even asking him, who can I minister? Who can I tell somebody about you? Your life isn't even representing, amen, his namesake in the earth. You know you do have his name on you, right? You've been called your peculiar people. He has slapped his sign, I should say, put his signature on you. Once you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, God has his signature on you. And if people are not seeing his signature, then you need to go back and get another dip. You need to go back and reconnect. Amen. You need to go back and make sure that you are fulfilling and following his will, his way, his purpose for your life. Now, the Lord has anointed you. And now God has given you an assignment. He's put an assignment on you. He's either breathed it, he's either brought it to you in a dream, in a word, maybe through somebody else, maybe the Bible itself, maybe you had a vision, amen, he took you up into the third heaven, spoke with you himself. Maybe it's always been in your heart, and then God sent men and women to confirm that which was in your heart. But what was in your heart was what he had already ordained and designed for you to do. Now here, Samuel is talking to Saul, amen, and said, listen, God said, he's given you the kingdom. He's giving you charge over his people. Now, with that anointing, I need you to go into the enemy's camp and take them out. People of God, God has given each and every one of us an anointing. And that anointing, amen, should not just be an anointing to get stuff. That anointing is also that we will go into the enemy's camp, amen, and take back what was stolen, amen. And it's not always the things. It's not always the stuff. It's people. Recognizing what the enemy is doing in your community. It is going in his camp and beginning to fight this and for spiritual souls, doing spiritual warfare in the atmosphere, fighting the principalities, the spiritual wickedness that rest and rule in high places. Everybody, and I sure do mean everybody, has wherever you live in this United States or this world, everybody is fighting some type of demonic force. There is a demonic demon that's assigned to your area, and it is up to us, people of God, that we will begin to tap into the spirit realm, find out what it is that we are dealing with, and then begin to war a righteous war. Begin to hear, tune our ears into the enemy. Begin to hear, tune our ears into God, into the spirit of the Lord. That's what I meant to say. Tune our ears into the spirit of the Lord. Hear, amen, in the spirit realm what the enemy is planning, amen. Get the directions from God and then go into the camp and then war a successful war. Why? Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. It's not there. That anointing is not on you so you can jump and shout. That anointing is not on you so you can do backflips. That anointing is not on you so you can sweat and preach and holler and prophesy to everybody in the church. That anointing is not, that's just one facet of the anointing, but that is not the whole purpose of why he's anointed you. Your job is to take the enemy out at all costs. Why? Because he's trying to take you out at all costs. So now, God has given Saul a mandate. God has given you, man of God, woman of God, myself as well, a mandate. And he said, listen, I need you to go. I'm punishing them for what they have done. I need you to go. Attack them. Utterly destroy all that they have. Do not spare them, but kill man, woman, infant, nursing child, ox, sheep, camel, and the donkey. Well, prophet is Judah, we're supposed to love everybody. We're supposed to show Christ, the love of Christ to everyone. And yes, that is true. But people of God, there's a time to love, and then there's a time to war. And you got to know what vein you need to be operating out of. Because where we get it twisted is that we start warring with each other instead of warring with the Spirit. We start fighting one another. We start backbiting one another. We start chopping each other reputation down instead of fighting in the Spirit. So here we have God has given Saul a direct mandate and said, kill him. What mandate has God given you that you still hee-hawing around about? What mandate has God, what order has God given you? What has God told you to do that you still hee-hawing about, still trying to get another prophetic word, the 10th prophetic word about it? You still running around trying to get, bring in 5 or 6 witnesses and trying to get 5 or 6 different opinions because you're still trying to seek that one opinion that is really going to be the opinion that you really want, amen, but it's not coming out that way. So, and as time has passed, you are still stuck in the same place, but yet you're crying out to God, talking about when is it my time, when am I going to come forth, when is it going to be me, when am I going to spring out, when is my breakthrough, when am I going to go forward and minister the gospel to the nations. If you cannot complete the mandate, if you cannot complete, we walk in obedience. And I've said it before, and I will say it again, partial obedience is still disobedience. Partial obedience is still disobedience. Just because you went today and now I don't go tomorrow, well, I went anyway. No, you have to keep going until God says enough. You got to keep pursuing until God says enough. But the whole thing is when he gives you instructions, that's why my spiritual parents, Mother Stella Boyd, as well as Bishop Dr. Iona Locke, said that when God speaks to you, we need to keep pen and paper by us. And when he speaks to you, you need to write down the instructions. See, we too busy trying to rely on the prophet to speak words over us. And then what happens is we go forth, we get the instructions, we fall out, run all under the benches, and then we expect someone else next to us to copy down every word, amen, verbatim, what they said, so we can be able to follow what the word of the Lord is. No, it's your responsibility, amen, to when the man of God speaks, or when God speaks to you, however he chooses to speak to you, you need to keep pen and paper. I have books filled, prophets have books filled, amen, of instructions, books filled of the word of God, of what the Spirit of the Lord was saying, whether I was in prayer, whether I was standing up in front of someone, or whether I was reading the word itself. He has given me divine instructions. Amen. And here it is, he gave Saul divine instruction and said, listen, I need you to do this, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, period. And Saul, and I'm assuming this is just in my mind, I'm not saying this has happened, and Saul basically told him, okay, I got it, and then he walked away, amen, started off well, got the soldiers together, amen, got the men together, even went down to the Kenites and said, listen, you were good to us, we're about to tear these folks up, I need you to gather your spoils, gather your people, get up out of here, because when we come, there's going to be no mercy for nobody. So they were like, thank you, sir. We got our families. We got to be packed up. We're moving up out of here. Now, verse 7. And Saul attacked the Amalekites from Habal all the way to Sur, which is east of Egypt. So here he's battling the Amalekites. Amen. He's doing what he's supposed to be doing, at least we think, okay? It sounded good while we were starting it off. He's doing what he's supposed to be doing, killing man, woman, boy, girl, amen, all the cattle, the oxen, the sheep, the donkeys, the goat, and everything else that those people touched. Now, he gets all the way there, pushes them back, and then gets all the way up to the king's castle, takes it by storm. However, somewhere in between the battle between the east of Egypt all the way to the castle, there was a change. Somewhere between verse 7 and verse 8, there was a change. There was a change in instruction. There was a change in mandate. There was a change in purpose. Verse 8 says, he also took Agai, king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. Now, going back in verse 3, the word came and said, go attack Amalek, destroy A-L-L that they have. Do not spare them. Men, women, boy, girl, infant, nurse, child, ox, sheep, camel, donkey. So between verse 3 and by the time we get to verse 8, there is a change. But Saul and the people, verse 9, spared Agai and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lamb, and all that was good, and were unwilling. Remember, I talked about partial obedience is still disobedience. So somewhere between verse 7 and verse 8, that obedience started changing. Now, How do we bring this into today? Many of us, God has given instruction on what he has wanted us to do. And we started off well following those instructions, but somewhere along the way, we had a change of heart. Somewhere along the way, we've allowed feelings, we've allowed persons, we've allowed situations to get in the way that have turned us from the very original purpose for what God has called us to do. And now we're off somewhere and we have all this extra baggage and we have all this extra luggage. We have all these extra spoils in our quiver, and we're sitting here like, well, the Lord is showing up blessing. But in reality, God never gave you the mandate to carry that. He told you, go in, take them out, kill everything. Don't try to save the best. Don't try to look good in front of somebody. But you've allowed somebody to come to you and tell you, you know what, if you do it this way, then it's going to turn out well for you, because you know what, I got contacts over here, and if we connect with this person and that person, I know you don't like them. I know they tried to talk. I know they tried to utterly tear your ministry up, and they talked about you. They spread your name, and you know, and they're doing bad right now. You know, God is getting them. He's doing what he needs to do. Listen, you know, God don't like ugly now. What we need to do, you need to go ahead and look them for what all they have. Get their contacts. Get their connections. That's what we're going to do, and then we're going to ride on their connections and get on the platform that God really, really intended for you to do, really intended for you to be. That's what he wants you to do. When God never intended you to do that very thing, and you have created, and you have designed, and you have lied, and you have built and plundered and did a whole bunch of other stuff, made ungodly connections and connects just so you can reap the spoils, and you've allowed people, you've allowed situations and circumstances, amen, when you began to find yourself sparing the king, sparing the very thing that God called you to give, sparing the best sheep, sparing the oxen, sparing the fatling, where you used to care about the soul and you would do anything to minister to those that are lost. Now you only want a certain clientele of people in your presence. Now you only want a certain clientele of people in your church. Amen. We'll send some money off to those that are in the third world country. That would be okay. Amen. However, now things have changed. Whereas people used to be able to call you and talk to you, and you begin to minister to them the word of God, you begin to talk to them. Now all of a sudden, you know, they got to make an appointment 3 weeks in advance to get to you. Or you just may be the opposite of that, where God has called you to do something and you just flat out refuse, because in the next verse down it says, and they were unwilling to utterly destroy them. God has told you to get rid of something, and he's called you to do something, or you just flat out refuse, unwilling to do it, and you're sitting there miserable, disgusted, frustrated, angry at everybody else, angry at God. Don't want to say you're angry at God, but in reality you're really angry at God, because he won't do what he's promised you. For the past 10 years you've been waiting for that breakthrough, waiting for that breakthrough. You've been on FB talking about it's my time, my season. People who came in your inbox prophesied all over you from the north, south, east, and west. It's your time, it's your season. And here it is 10 years later, and you're still waiting for the manifestation of those words. But the whole thing is, in the midst of all that, you have never really done what God originally told you to do. You started off with a partial. You may do it one day, but you didn't put your whole heart in it. Next 2 days, you're not doing anything. 3 days, 3 months, 3 weeks, 3 years later, you're still sitting there. No, you're still waiting on God to give you his all. Something's wrong with this picture, don't you think, people of God? I think so, because it said they were unwilling to utterly destroy them, but everything despised and worthless that they utterly destroyed. So here we have Saul and the people. That's why you got to be careful who you bring into your secrets, into your circle. Amen. You got to be careful who you allow contact with you, or allow personal connection with you, because everybody that's trying to connect with you is really not for your betterment. Mm-hmm. They're really not for trying to push you into the face of God. They're really not for you trying to get to the next place that God has ordained you to be. They're really not happy for you. If anything, they're connecting to you so they can see what they can suck off you, what they can get out of you, trying to keep you down and subservient, amen, at all costs. So we have to be careful of who we allow in our ear gate. We have to be careful who we allow in our circle. So here, Saul allowed the people. And it didn't take too much because, and my husband always preached this, is that we always have to be careful of pleasing other folks. I think, and I know for a fact, that half of the body of Christ would be in a better place if they weren't so caught up in pleasing other people. I think people would be much more happier in what God and who God has called them to be. They will be much happier in what God has given them, and they won't be sitting here striving and walking in anointings and callings that God never ordained for them to walk in or called them to. They will not be connected or find themselves attached to certain things that God never intended for them to be attached to. So now they're miserable, now they're angry, they're distrustful. Amen. Can the list goes on. I could say more, but I don't want to. The bottom line is that once we are delivered from the voice of people pleasing, once we are truly delivered, once God breaks that cycle, amen. Oh, well, thank you, Holy Ghost. He said, for many of us, we need to break the cycle. Why? Because the power of God is on the inside of us. We need to go in and break that curse, break that stronghold, break the hold of the enemy. Because as long as you are always worried about and concerned about what others think and how they feel about you, then the crowd can always sway you and to whatever direction they want you to go. Here, Saul just showed us right here. Because of the crowd, because of the love of the people, because of him wanting to always be in their good graces. Somewhere between verse 7 and 8, things changed. And instead of King Agag being utterly destroyed along with all the sheep and the oxen, the fatling, the lambs, and everything that was of choice value, that should have all been destroyed. Instead, we see Saul and his people storing things up and mixing it in with their things, with their stock. But yet anything that was not worthy, anything that was old, anything that was worthless, they were quick to destroy that. See, here's the thing. God is not so much after what doesn't mean nothing to you. God is after the very thing that's going to cost you something. God is after the very thing, amen, that will make you squirm a little bit. The very thing that you hold on for dear life, the very thing that you treasure above him. That's what he's asking for. Oh, sure, anybody can get rid of trash. You don't have no problem throwing away what does not have value to you. Easy to get rid of that. But what about that very thing that means a lot to you, something that you hold very dearly that has sentimental value? My husband has an organ in our house. We have many organs. We really do. But there's this one particular organ that we have in our home. He doesn't play it. It kind of sits there and in our front room and looks, you know, actually looks good in the decor. But, and I've never seen him play it. I think I've seen him play it once out of the 20-some years we've been married, just to show me that the thing works. But it has sentimental value to it. In fact, I believe it was the organ that he learned on when he was a child. So the gifting and the level that he plays at now, this organ was part of his foundational training. So So because it was a part of his foundational training, it has value to him. It means something to him. He has stock in that. Now, if anybody comes by the organ, he doesn't have any problem with it. He doesn't. In fact, we sometimes set things on top of the organ because it's just become a part of the decor. But let someone ask for that organ. Let someone who does not even have any music ability begin to start touching on buttons. Then you'll see something raise up in them. You'll be like, hey, leave that thing alone. You don't touch it. Let it go. In fact, get from over there. You ain't got no business being over there. Move. Don't even deal with that. You don't even see this. What would happen? And even if prophetess tried to take that organ and move it to for the garbage man to come pick it up, I'm pretty sure that my husband would be out there dragging me by the shirt, dragging me to come get that organ. Or wherever that organ would have been, I would have to go get that organ, because he's not going to let that organ just go. Things that are very important to you, you'll guard with your life. You'll fight over it. But what happens when God asks you for that very thing that you have put blood, sweat, and tears in? What if God asked you for that very thing? And for some of us, God is asking us for that very, very thing, and we find it very difficult to let it go. Because we want to choose, we're unwilling, amen, to sever some ties. We're unwilling to break some chains. We're unwilling to cut some people off. We're unwilling to let certain things that we have even outgrown, but because they have quote-unquote sentimental value, causes us to become stagnant and stay in places and stay in a spiritual location where we have no business being, because God has called us to do something else and we don't want to let that go. Now, after he's done all this, verse 10 says this: Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel, saying, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. Now here's God is talking to the prophet and saying, listen, I'm done. I've had enough. He's turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. I thank God for grace. This is before, since we're sitting in the Old Testament, this is before the moment of grace, but I thank God for grace, because what would happen if God finally says, you know what, enough. I've dealt with you. I've been wooing you for the longest. It's been 20-some, 15-some, for some 30-some years. I've been asking you to do this one thing, this one very thing, the very thing that is the key to all the doors that you have been asking me for to open unto you. But you refuse. You refuse to walk in obedience towards me. You refuse. You'll get out the boat, but then you're just, as soon as you get out the boat, you'll run back in. As you just refuse to do what I've called you to do. So now I've had enough. I'm done. And I am going to lift the anointing off of you and put it on somebody else that's going to do what I've called them to do. And you're going to watch them do it. You're going to watch them do what I've given you, what I told you to originally do. He said, I greatly, verse 11, I greatly regret that I have set Saul as king, for he had turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. In other words, he was not obedient to what I called him to do. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. What happens when God tells the prophet, the apostle, the man, the woman of God, the spiritual mother, spiritual father, that don't pray another word, don't pray another prayer for him, I'm done? See, some of us are still, we're feeling secure because even though we're not moving and doing what God has called us to do, we feel secure because somebody, God has somebody praying and interceding on our behalf, saying, Lord, just give them one more chance. Give them one more chance, Lord, your grace, your mercy. They're going to get it together, Jesus. Just help them, give them a little bit more time. But what happens, people of God, when God, when the Spirit of the Lord comes to that person or persons and says, that's it, I'm done. Don't mention their name before me now one more time. This is what happened to Saul when the word of the Lord came to Samuel. He basically said, it's over. I'm done with this. I'm done with him and everything he stands for. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. So even though the Lord said that I'm removing my hand off of him, that's it, the favor's gone, I'm done with it, he still interceded. He still was trying to find a way to pray for the man, to ask God about him. He still was crying out because he knew what the cost of the anointing being lifted up off of Saul. He knew what it was really going to cost him. I believe, amen, that Samuel got a glimpse of what was really going to happen. And he was like, oh God, please have mercy. Don't let the man, just please. I was like, I'm done. It's a wrap. He said, and it grieved Samuel, and he cried out all night long. So when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul went to Carmel. And indeed, he set up a monument for himself, and he had gone on around, passed by, gone down to Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Now, as men and women of God, I know we talk about a lot of times, not everybody, but I hear a lot of people talking about we can't judge, don't judge, don't judge it. It was already judged. And Saul spoke forth the judgment. Can you, regardless of how you feel, can you still speak forth the oracle of God? Can you still speak forth what God is saying in spite of how you feel about that person? That's the true test of character right there. Can you still speak forth a prophetic right now word of what God is saying without mixing it, without trying to sugarcoat it, without trying to leave words out? But even at this, he said Saul went up, got the parade going, built a monument unto himself. Now all this time, we don't hear nowhere where he's giving God any glory in this. You thought it was all you. For some of us, we think it's really all of us. We think we just have the right connections. We're bad like that. We just got that type. We have the speech. We got that swag. We just know we got that flow. We just know what to do, when to do it, how to say it. Everybody follows us, hanging on our words. You know, I got a Facebook following. I got a blog following. I got an Instagram following. I'm hot. And we forget that God is the one that brought us to those places, set us before those people, opened the doors for us when everybody else's doors were closed, gave us favor, and that even in our roughest state, because you weren't always looking fabulous. You are looking fabulous like you are now. Let the truth be known. And instead of Saul giving God glory, you know the reality was he didn't even obey the word. Amen. And it's so funny that if he would have obeyed the word fully, instead of him trying to build a monument unto himself, he should have been trying to build an altar giving God some type of glory, some type of praise for the things that he has done. But what pride does, it will allow you to find yourself lifting yourself up some way, some form, some fashion, some kind of way. He was seeking the worship for himself. He went around, passed by, let the people praise his name, shout unto him. Then he went and said, listen, I performed everything that God said. And Samuel said, so then what is this bleeding of sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? Do you know that sin has a sound? Those of us who are connected to God, we can tell by the spirit of discernment when something is not, there's a sound even in the spirit. Musicians, people preaching, certain, there's a sound in the spirit realm. And when everything is on one accord and when everything's flowing, amen, then that sound is a perfect sound, a perfect pitch. Everything moves fluidly. But when things are off, excuse me, when there is a demonic presence involved, or when there's a fleshly presence involved, then I don't care how much we howl, I don't care how eloquently we play, I don't care how our speech, I don't care if we're shouting, dancing, I don't care if we're laying hands on folks and they're falling out. There are those who are connected to the Spirit of God. There is, you can pick up when things are not flowing in the spirit. There's a grating. It's almost like nails on a chalkboard. It's just like, I know that something is not right. It's not flowing. So, and the same with Saul. Same with Samuel. He heard, amen, the best of the bleeding of the sheep and the lowing of the oxen. And then he says, well, I bought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best. Now, he put himself in the best of light. You know, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. It was the people, but the people wanted this. I are the king, so I got to do what the people want. Am I not supposed to please the people? For the people spared the best of the sheep and oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God. So in the beginning of this chapter, it was our God, my God, now it's your God. And the rest we all, and the rest, amen, we have utterly destroyed. So in other words, I did what you called me to do. What more do you need? Listen, you're messing up my parade because, you know, I got to be in the next town giving my accolades. Then Samuel said, be quiet. And I'll tell you what the Lord said to me last night. I'm going to end right there because people of God, we have to begin to raise up and can no longer. That's why we can't fear what people think about us, because you have to be ready at a given moment, amen, to walk in obedience. You have to be ready at a given moment to begin to speak forth what God is saying at all times, regardless of your personal feelings about them or the situation that they're in. You have to be able to give them the true word of God. Come on, let's pray. Father, I bless you, and I give your name praise, glory, and honor. I thank you, God, for this time. Help us, Father, to no longer be tied to what people say and what people do. Break the spirit of disobedience. Break the spirit of partial disobedience. Break it in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask now that you will begin to heal those of us who are seeking, heal us on the inside, those of us who continuously seek to please others and can't move unless someone gives us the thumbs up, and can't breathe unless someone tells us how much to breathe, and can't fulfill the kingdom assignment on our lives. Break that cycle now on the lives, the minds, and the hearts of the people in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Now, Father, those of us who are not saved, please pray this prayer. Father, I'm a sinner. Save me. Forgive me. Wash me in the blood of Jesus Christ. I live for you and serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, welcome to the kingdom of God. We are definitely praying for you that God is going to lead you to a Bible believing and teaching ministry that's going to birth you, amen, and help you to fulfill the assignment, the kingdom assignment that God has on your life. Listen, I'm Prophetess Crystal McQueen, amen. I want you to join me next Thursday again at 7 p.m., amen, right here for another broadcast episode of Prophetic Atmosphere. And also, please join us on Saturday morning at 9:30 a.m. and Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m., for Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, amen, broadcast. I love each and every one of you, and I will see you again next week. Be blessed in the Lord. Good night.